Around 1 in 7 Australians are on antidepressants. That means over 3.5 million of us took a pill this morning to help us get through the day. Half of that number are long-term users, meaning they've been on the drugs for at least 2 years. Some folks will never come off them, despite a list of long-term side effects like weight gain, sexual dysfunction, and trouble sleeping. We can't deny the benefits of these medications. Many patients credit them with saving their lives. But doctors and prescribing guidelines say they aren't meant to be a long-term fix. A recent article in the Medical Journal of Australia says we're over-prescribing antidepressants and under-treating the root causes of mental illness. You're about to hear from the study's author, who's urging us to take a closer look at prescribing rates. But I'd like to start the conversation with someone who struggled to get off antidepressants after being on and off them for 30 years. Kate Ryan is a Gold Coast-based mum of two. Kate, welcome to Life Matters.
Thanks for having me. I think this is a really important conversation to have, so thank you.
Do you mind talking me through your journey? What sparked you being prescribed antidepressants in the first place?
I was really young. I was 12 when I first started taking Zoloft, and it was because there was quite a strong family history of mental health illness in my family. Not long before that, my brother had been treated in a hospital. He wasn't doing too well. And as soon as I started showing symptoms of anxiety, they sent me straight up to a psychiatrist. And before I knew it, I was on 50 milligrams of Zoloft.
And so when did you first try to get off them?
I feel like, from memory, it was so long ago, but I feel like I was on that for a good 5 or 6 years. And then I went off them I think I was about 16 or 17 when I decided I wanted to try and get off them. And I did that on my own, and it wasn't easy.
Talk to me about what it's like when you start coming off them, because I've heard that for long-term users, sometimes the withdrawal symptoms feel like relapsing, which would be really scary.
Yeah, for me, it didn't feel like relapsing. It was a really physical response. So I can tell, if I forget to take one of my pills, I can feel it in the afternoon. It feels like my brain is zapping. It's almost like there's a CD in my head that's skipping. I start to get quite dizzy, and I can start slurring my words as well. So that's an indicator that I haven't taken it for that day. So that's how powerful it is. I feel like for me, when I was trying to get off them on my own, that it was so traumatic and so physically hard to get off them that I decided that I'd go back on them. It was just too hard. It was in the too hard basket. So,
what kind of conversations were you having with your prescribing doctors around being on them, wanting to come off them, wanting to stay on them?
The first time I did it on my own, I didn't even tell anyone. I was just like, I don't want to have these anymore. It feels like it's a stigma. I don't need it. I've outgrown any of my issues. So I just tried to do it on my own. I realized quite quickly that that's not something that you can do. I'm very fortunate in the fact that my dad's a doctor. And when I did get off them successfully the second time I tried, he gave me a tapering technique that worked.
You're listening to Life Matters on Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor, and I've just been speaking to Kate Ryan about her experience long-term on and off antidepressants, because we're discussing an academic paper which is querying how quickly Aussies are being prescribed antidepressants and when they present to the doctor. Claire from Brisbane says, Kate, are you me? Obviously striking a chord there. Another text from a psychologist of nearly 40 years. I can assure you that our mental health profession does almost nothing to treat the root cause of nearly all mental health problems, which is trauma. In fact, conventional treatments such as psych drugs often make things worse, not better. Well, I do want to bring an expert into this conversation. Professor Catherine Wallace is with the University of Queensland Medical School and was the lead author on the paper I have been referring to. Catherine, hearing Kate's story, is that a familiar pattern that you're hearing?
Oh, hi, Tegan. Yes, it is unfortunately very familiar. The problem that we have is rising long-term use of antidepressants. So people staying on them longer than clinical guidelines recommend for most people, which tends to suggest that people are starting and then not stopping the antidepressants. And there is increasing evidence that antidepressant withdrawal symptoms are common and that they can be severe and long-lasting. And so that's what our research is looking at, developing resources to support people who do want to come off their antidepressant.
You mentioned prescribing guidelines. Can you give me a quick picture of what they are? What are the best practice guidelines?
So the therapeutic guidelines in Australia recommend only starting antidepressants when people have got a severe depression and you try other interventions first, lifestyle recommendations, talking therapies, that kind of thing first. And then medication comes later. And then the recommendations are that the duration of therapy should be, you know, review the medication after 6 to 12 months and consider deprescribing at that point. And I think that's what we're looking at. That seems to be what's not happening. And we know that 92% of antidepressants are prescribed in general practice in Australia. So it's really an issue for general practice, not so much for psychiatry, which tends to see a different spectrum of illness to that seen in general practice.
That's a really interesting distinction you make. And your background is general practice, so this is really your patch. When you're saying that antidepressants are being overprescribed, how do you make that assessment? How can you actually capture what's happening in Australia?
Yeah, that's a good question, Tegan. There are many ways that we might look at that. I mean, firstly, we know that antidepressant use is high in Australia compared to other countries and that it's rising for no particular reason that we know about. We also know that there's unwarranted variation in antidepressant prescribing, with women being prescribed these medications at 1.5 times the rate of men, and also older people, so people over the age of 65, are twice as likely to be prescribed antidepressants as people under 65. And that tends to suggest not that there's some difference about women or older people in their brain, but social issues that might be contributing to how people are feeling and what support and help they might need in their life.
It's interesting you mentioned that. Someone said menopause symptoms are too often dismissed as stress, anxiety, depression, with antidepressants too quickly prescribed. That's sort of what you're outlining there.
Yes, that does seem to be another area at the moment. There's quite a push to recognise menopausal symptoms and to raise awareness about that and get some help for that. And antidepressants is one of the things that seems to be being used in that space.
What would you like to see change in Australia?
Oh, I suppose the big thing is we want to raise awareness of antidepressant withdrawal symptoms, because often when people were first started on these medications, it wasn't known how difficult they were to stop. So firstly, raising awareness and recognition of these symptoms, and then supporting people to go through that slow hyperbolic taper, which helps to minimise withdrawal symptoms and enable people to stop these drugs when they want to stop them.
What kind of conversations would you like GPs and patients to be having together about antidepressants?
Well, I guess the first thing to think about is when you're considering starting these antidepressants. So informed consent discussions at that point needs to include some discussion about the off-ramp. So when you might think about stopping them, if you do start them, and how you might stop them. And then each time a repeat prescription is prescribed, we would like to see a discussion happening then and a decision about whether to think about trying to stop them or whether somebody wants to continue them.
You're listening to Life Matters on Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor, and I'm speaking to UQ Professor Catherine Wallace, who's one of the authors of a new paper in the Medical Journal of Australia about whether antidepressants are overprescribed in Australia. I would like to make it clear, we are not telling anyone who's on antidepressants to go off them. That is a conversation for you to have with your doctor. But a broad discussion about the picture in Australia as a whole. Lots of people texting in. One person says, I was on antidepressants for about 10 years and it took months and months to come off. Tapering took about 6 months to do the final steps of the weaning to avoid side effects. Anna says, I've been on them for 40 years. My sleep is terrible. I've tried to get off them, but no luck, and no doctors seem to be able to help. Please inform them. So, Catherine, that's really what you're trying to do with this recent paper. Beyond the prescribing guidelines that we currently have, what else could we change here?
So one of the things that we're looking at in our MRFF and NHMRC funded trial.
So the Medical Research Future Fund and right. The National Health and Medical Research Council, yes.
Yes, so they funded us at the University of Queensland to run a trial testing a toolkit that we've developed to support GPs and their patients to have this discussion about whether or not to continue or stop, and then to support that slow tapering process if people do want to try stopping their antidepressant.
Kate, I'd love to bring you back into the conversation. You spoke earlier about your difficulties getting off antidepressants. Did you feel like you were being made aware of the alternatives before you were being given medication? Because you were so young.
Yeah, I was young. It was an all-hands-on approach for me, I think, because there had been a crisis with my older brother and my parents were scared. It was psychology, it was a psychiatrist, it was medication. Immediately, all of those, like the whole, the triple threat. But it just seemed that, I mean, that's just what it was. I mean, this was, I'm talking, 31 years ago. I don't know if it's changed at all, but yeah, it wasn't even thought about really. And I wonder also if that's because I do come from a medical family. So therefore, you know, medications are relied upon quite heavily in my family as well. And it did definitely help me. It brought me out of what I was feeling.
So did you feel like when it was given to you, it was being given as a permanent solution?
Yeah, I think so. I didn't even really think too much about it, to be honest. I was just really anxious and I just wanted it to go away, what was happening. So I just did what I was told. But I did feel really embarrassed that I was taking it, particularly back then. There wasn't much conversation around mental health, and being 12, you know, sort of just about to go through puberty and that, you're really conscious about what people are going to think about you. And it felt like a really dirty secret that I had as well. But it's changed, I think. I think people are more open to having conversations about it now.
Eva says, I was on anxiety medication after a terrible time in a job. I was anxious and unsure when starting in a new role, and I had thought about leaving even though it was an opportunity I really wanted. Eva said, I had a great GP who prescribed me anti-anxiety for 1 month with a review, and at that time I was told by my GP it was short term for 6 months. I came off after 6 months. It was a tricky few weeks where my brain was having brain zaps, we just heard Kate mention before, which felt weird. It took a few weeks to come off the medication, and I'm forever grateful for a GP that took the guidelines into consideration. So a good news story there. Moving forward, how do we address this growing need for a framework to better address mental health through a more holistic approach, or at least a way to use medication for what it is, one of just a number of ways to tackle anxiety and depression and not the whole solution? Dr. Asta Thoma from the Royal Australian and New Zealand College of Psychiatrists is here to answer the question of how we move forward from a mental health episode without necessarily turning to medication as a first port of call. Asta, thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Tegan. Thank you for having me here.
You just heard Catherine outlining the work that she's done. From where you sit on the psychiatry side of things, why do you think these medications are being so heavily prescribed?
I would rather use the word commonly prescribed. I think if you look at the numbers, we do have enough data which suggests almost 40% of Australians do struggle with mental health issues. And in, you know, the data around 2020 sort of shows around 17% of our Australians do fill prescriptions for mental health conditions. And out of them, 1 out of 7 are using antidepressants. Now, we also have to remember antidepressants are used for many conditions, including depression, but not just depression. So it is used for anxiety conditions like obsessive compulsive disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder, and also for some physical conditions like migraine, chronic pain. So in a way, the antidepressants are most commonly prescribed medications for psychiatric as well as physical conditions. So they do play a role. And yes, you know, there is no doubt that we in Australia have become, you know, the second highest country in the OECD countries to be using prescriptions for psychiatric conditions. In a way, it could, you know, there are complex reasons. I mean, it's not simple, straightforward around why we're using more of these medications. And I would like to sort of think destigmatizing of mental health conditions also is a part of it. I was listening to Kate talking about her experience, and what struck me was, you know, feeling embarrassed about being diagnosed, feeling embarrassed about having those difficulties at such a young age. She also spoke about how it ended up in a crisis-like situation where it needed all hands approach. And you're absolutely right. The all-hands approach doesn't include just medication. It also includes therapy. It also includes support. And when it starts out, you know, you don't, nobody takes antidepressants, nobody takes medications lightly. It is a really big decision one makes, you know, whether you're a clinician as a clinician or a consumer or even a family. When you're supporting your family member taking that medication, you know, it comes to a point when you do end up sort of starting on that medication. Now, where it takes us is really important. I think that's where Catherine's work right now is, around at the starting point. It does help. And sometimes, again, it's not simple, straightforward. We do end up going through a few trials of different antidepressants, different medications to find the right one. And when you find the right one, it can be life-changing. I mean, you know, if anybody who struggled with low mood, high anxiety, depression, any of the psychiatric conditions, it's a really hard space to be in. So when you have a resolution of symptoms, it can be life-changing because the condition was so debilitating. But once you've made a recovery, and that recovery can look different for, you know, everybody. Once you make that recovery, you do need to come to a point where you want to have that conversation around, do I need to continue taking this medication? And that's where, you know, Catherine and her team's work around the, you know, what does that endpoint look like? How do you make that decision around, you know, how would you go about it? And that support, again, going back to what Kate mentioned, that, you know, she did, and we do, like, you know, at some point you're like, does this medication really help me? I want to stop it. It also reminds you of the dark phase of your life. It also carries a bit of a stigma. And then you know, do you end up stopping that medication on your own? Or do you want to do that with a doctor, someone who can sort of help you make that decision? Mm. How do you come off that medication is so important.
Yes, so important. And so many stories coming through on the text line. One says, I've experienced depression on and off as a teenager and then had a major episode after experiencing a number of challenging life events. I was in therapy, but I felt like I couldn't get myself out of my low mood space. I finally decided to take SSRIs, which is a class of antidepressants. It was an absolute game changer. My life is now very stable. I've decided to try to come off them, but my symptoms have come back with intensity. It's hard to know if they're withdrawal symptoms or underlying depression. Another person says there are so many reasons that people can't access the wraparound care that would be needed to get off antidepressants. A big one is finance and access to good people. Without antidepressants, I wouldn't be able to function. And one more from Beth, who says, a great big happy shout out to my regional GP in the Illawarra. She's doing all of the things your expert is recommending. Discussion about when to come off at each new repeat and a great understanding from her about perimenopause and mental health. So Catherine, just to come back to you briefly, what questions should people be asking their doctor if they're being offered these drugs?
I guess they would want to know, you know, why, how the drugs work, what they do to them, how the drugs might help them, what the side effects are, and how long, you know, they would be expected to be taking them, and when it comes to stopping, how they would go about doing that. I mean, I guess those are sort of the very basic sort of questions. And I think, you know, the other thing to say about these medications is that they're not uppers. They're not happy pills. There's no street value associated with them. And while they do help people or can help people in the short term, in the long term, many people experience feeling numb on these drugs, so they can't feel the highs of life as well as the lows of life. And, you know, maybe that price is a good one. People can pay it or are happy to pay it. But there are other adverse effects that you mentioned with long-term use as well that people might not know about, you know, like weight gain, increased falls in older age. There's some evidence that cognitive decline is faster when you're on antidepressants, and the sexual dysfunction that can have, you know, widespread repercussions for people's lives and relationships. So, just getting to the point about, you know, increasing awareness and acceptance of mental health issues, there has been this great campaign, over the last couple of decades since Kate started her medication. And I think that has been successful in reducing stigma associated with calling for help and things like that. But there has to be some questioning when you find that one in seven people are now taking these medications, and there's no evidence that Australians are any happier or anyone's any better off. So I just think we need to, you know, reevaluate what we're doing in this space and look at the pros and the cons and think about changing.
Thank you so much. Professor Catherine Wallace is from the University of Queensland's Medical School. You also heard from Dr. Asta Toma with the College of Psychiatrists and Kate Ryan, who's lived with depression. And if this conversation has raised issues for you, help is available. You can call Lifeline on 13 11 14.
It's easier than ever to hear your favourite local and national ABC radio stations live and on demand on the ABC Listen app.